thing, just because sometimes that's hard. It's really hard to share yourself and to share that part of your life. And you don't always want to go to that place. And so I was kind of trying to keep it a little bit more simple, but I feel a little bit more direction into so bear with me if I'm sobbing up here. If I have to stop and wipe my tears a couple times, I was trying to be able to get through it, and maybe I will. We'll see. But just pray for me for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for today. Oh, God, I thank you so much for every person that is here. I'm so thankful, God, for every father that has walked through those doors this morning. There is really no better place that they could have come than to be in your house and to be in your presence. Oh, God, I pray that you would move in this place this morning. God, that you will anoint me, Lord. Every word that is spoken, let it be inspired of you. You are such a good God. I'm thankful, Lord, to know you. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. 19.7 million. Let that sink in for just a second. That's the number of children in the United States that live without a father. Not the number of kids that have stepfathers and all that sort of thing, but the kids that do not have a father, either that they're going to or that live in their home. And research shows that a child raised in a father-absent home is affected in many ways. They're four times greater risk of poverty. They're more likely to have behavioral problems, two times greater risk of infant mortality, seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, twice as likely to drop out of school. They're two times more likely to suffer obesity. And let these next numbers really sink in. 70% of the youth housed in state correction centers come from fatherless homes. 75% of young people being treated in substance abuse clinics come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides come from a fatherless home. The statistics are alarming. And fathers, when you think that your role in training your children doesn't matter, you need to read those numbers again, because it does. God gave you the ability to lead as a man in a way us women could not. And I am not saying that against, but my husband, I have to raise my voice with my kids. I have to threaten them with an inch of their life. I have to bribe them. I have to do all of these things. And it's not because I haven't been consistent, because if you know me, you've seen my discipline. And I mean, Sister Angie has been there with me through the toddler years of Landon, and it was just like, how? This is going on for 45 minutes, and you keep having to spank your kid and put him in time out and go back and forth. And it was a battle of the wills. But he just has to give him the stink eye, as they call it. And you better believe they are going to fix whatever is happening, and they know it, and they know he means business. It doesn't matter how amazing of a mother you are or amazing of the mother that is in their life is. A mother can never be a father. And a father can never be a mother. That's just how it is. God created it that way. You guys know that I have a great mother. I adore her. I love her. Thank you. I do. She is amazing, and she certainly tried her very best to fill some of the void that was in her kids' lives. And it's a big shoe to fill. Mothers, single mothers, it's hard. It's very hard. Fathers, single fathers, the same with a mother. You'll never be a mother. You can try all you want, but you just can't be. I was probably 9 years old, and I remember my dad would go away. He would go away either on business for a couple days, or my dad would go away because he was on a high. He was into crack. And so we wouldn't know for days whether he was alive or where he was, or if we'd find him in a ditch. We didn't know that. None of that really sunk in that much at 9 years old. I knew there was something maybe not right, but I didn't quite know, you know, to the extent of it. And so I remember thinking, oh gosh, Dad's coming home. I knew this today, and I really wanted to make him feel wanted. I wanted him to feel missed. And that's probably because I wanted that. I wanted that from him. So I was going to show him what I wanted by him pulling up and me coming out. And I got all dressed up and I got the stereo. It was probably the boombox at that time. This out, and I got Butterfly Kisses all queued up, and he pulls up. And I'm so excited to do this for him, thinking, oh, he's going to love this. I've worked on this. And he gets out of the truck, and I start singing. We had like a little, it was like a two-story house, but it was on stilts. There was like nothing really on the bottom. But so I kind of sang from the top, just tried to make this, you know, big deal of him coming home. Dad's home. And he just kind of mumbled something. That's nice, Shannon. Just kept walking. And so I did. I tried to live my life. For a long time, you know, I searched what's wrong with me. Why, you know, why doesn't he want to come home to me? Why isn't my siblings, why aren't they good enough? You know, what is it about us? And I tried to live my life seeking approval and wanting to be loved and wanting to be missed and trying to figure out why. Like, why don't you love us? Why do you need that so much? Why are you choosing drugs over us? I don't get it. I don't understand. My mother is beautiful. We're healthy kids. We're smart kids. You know, we don't get in trouble. We do everything we know to do. Why don't you love us? Why? And I'm sure a lot of you have similar stories or can relate in some way. And what I have to say is be present, dads. Be present. I know that life is so incredibly busy. I understand that. I know. I have a job, and I'm in college again, and I have three kids, and my husband travels, and we have a church, and I know it's busy. But all those things mean absolutely nothing if you lose your family and your soul. So I'm not sure, I'm really not sure which is worse, because I had at a time in my life where my father was completely gone. He left on a sailboat after my parents separated, and I didn't hear from him for years. None of us did. But I don't know what was worse, that or living in a home where he was there, but he really wasn't there. He was present. I have these mental images, and I'm not trying to bash my father today, and that's not what this is about. That's half the reason I struggled with even saying some of these things, but it is because I want you all to know that, A, it's not too late. My father and I have started beginning repairing a relationship. I remember at 16, I would set times to go meet with him right after church. I'd rearrange everything so my sister and I could go have lunch for him, only to get in the car, cancel on friends, and then him cancel on us. And it was over and over and over again until I stopped. I stopped trying. That's when he went away, and I didn't hear from him. So you can be, there is a quote that I read recently. The guy's name is Eckhart Tolle. And he says, most humans are never fully present in the now because unconsciously they believe that the next moment must be more important than this one. But then you miss your whole life, which is never not now. And that's a revelation for some people, to not realize that your life is only ever now. When you let that sink in, it is, that, and so many of us, we don't live our life by that. And I can be one of the first ones to admit that I'm not always living in the present. Children look to their fathers to lay down the rules and enforce them. But they also look to their fathers to provide a feeling of security, both physical and emotional. Your son will most likely repeat your behaviors. That's the statistics. Your daughter will most likely expect your behaviors in her husband. Let that sink in. Fractured relationships with the father can breed insecurities and mistrust that lead to fractured relationships. In the beginning of my childhood, we didn't have a lot of money. I remember my dad actually, he went to prison for a little while for the selling and the distribution of drugs. He didn't have to stay in prison for very long, but he did have, furlough? Or I don't know, where he was out on work release for a while, so we would drop him off every day to that. And so we lived with my grandparents, his parents. We lived with them quite a bit on two separate occasions for, you know, many, at least probably a year on one of the times. But So I remember searching in the car for change with my mom, like being at a gas station, just trying to get like $3 worth of quarters just so we could get gas. And it's not because my dad did not have money. It's because he was spending all of our money on other things. We had four-wheelers, but we had a hood that would fly up while we're driving. We had to like make jokes of our car because our car smoked so bad we called it the built-in mosquito repellent, because we tried to make light of a very kind of scary situation. It was a scary car to be on the road in. I'm going to grab a tissue so I can at least read. And I remember so searching for the change. And I remember McDonald's being just such a treat. Like my sister and I would literally, we would play a game of who like got the last bite. It was a big deal. So in the beginning, this was in the beginning. It wasn't always this way. It got a little bit better as we got older. But then you'd hear the garage door open and close at weird hours at the night, and there was that. But I remember our car being in such terrible shape that the hood would fly up, and I just told you about that, and we would get angry at times knowing that the money was spent for his selfish and terrible habits. But it's what I don't remember that bothers me the most. It's I don't remember having conversations with my father. I don't remember having any real conversations. I don't remember him ever telling me I was beautiful. I don't remember him ever asking me about a guy or about my friends or about my schooling. I don't remember any of that because those times did not happen. I remember one family vacation and it was miserable because he spent the entire time talking about how much money this was costing him. I don't remember sometimes, I'm just gonna be honest, it's hard when I see other not little girls anymore, but other grown girls still having a very close relationship with their father. I didn't ever sit on my father's lap. That was foreign to me. That was weird. Being hugged or told I was beautiful and loved did not happen. I always felt like I had to make him feel wanted and needed and missed. So it wasn't really the money, guys. It wasn't. I know that you have pressures, dads. It was a lot of pressure to take care of your family, to provide for them, and the exhaustion that comes with it can be ever-consuming. I realize that. You do. You have a lot of pressure. But I urge you to take the time with your kids, no matter the age. I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you. I know that a little girl I'm talking was hurt for so many, many years. He was not at my wedding. He did not give me away. Many, many years of hurt and pain. And I still want a relationship with him. I wished him happy Father's Day this morning. I will still talk with him. I will probably never allow myself to get so close that I would get hurt again. But I'm allowing him to be in my life as much as he wants to be in my life, or as much as he wants to be in my life. So remember that it's not too late. If your kids are grown, still see them, still visit with them, still talk to them, call them, let them know you love them, Even if it's really hard to find something that you're proud of, find something that you're proud of and tell them. So do you want to know why society is struggling with gender identity? You want to know why we have so many teenage pregnancies and why girls do not know how to be loved and they want independence and they want all this other stuff, but they truly don't know how to be loved because they feel like they have to give themselves to be loved. We are struggling with society, and I'm not placing it all on dads, but the statistics are overwhelming. You can't deny the statistics. We are struggling as a society raising men that know they are men. We're struggling with society, with girls who feel like at 14 they have to start being sexually active because that is all they have left to give. It's real and it's sad. And I know it hurts God. And I know that each of you fathers cannot change the entire world, but you can change your world. You can change what's around you. And thank God. Thank God my mother found an altar, because I would be, what a disaster I would be. I would be no doubt a statistic, absolutely a part of those percentages. And I know this, and I am thankful that I know God and that I have this Father. And this Father has gotten me through so many things, so many things. So I urge you, take the walk. Go play board games. None of these even cost. The things that we want, the things that I'm telling you, they don't even cost. It's just your time. And if you can't give your family time, then what's the point of time? If you can't, God and your family, I don't understand it. Go for a walk. Go play catch. Show them how to fish. Make them a man. Tell your daughter she's beautiful. Tell her she's loved and she's wanted and she's needed. Because I guarantee you, if you don't, she's going to search other places. And that's hard. And that's if she doesn't get a hold of it, she will be destroyed. There's a song that I wanted to share with you. It's long, but I think it's very worth it, and some of you may know it. I'm certainly not singing, especially after this. So I'm going to read it to you. It's called The American Dream. Now, we all come from different walks. Every father faces a different struggle in their life, and maybe why they struggle to be present is different. Some it's drugs. Some of you, that's not it at all. Some of it is exactly what I said, is jobs. It's the pressures of life, because life really can be so consuming and so exhausting that you forget why you're even working. What you disabandon the people you're working for. And this song probably speaks a little more to that. It's called The American Dream. It's by Casting Crowns. All work, no play may have made Jack a dull boy, but all work, no God has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam. He's chasing the American dream. He's going to give his family the finer things. Not this time, son. I've no time to waste. But maybe tomorrow we'll have time to play. And then he slips into his new little BMW and drives farther and farther and farther away, because he works all day and tries to sleep at night. He tells him things will get better, better in time. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long his kingdom stands, but will his kingdom stand? His American dream is beginning to seem more and more like a nightmare with every passing day. Daddy, can you come to my game? Oh, baby, please don't work late. Another wasted weekend, and they are slipping away. Because he works all day and lies awake at night, and he tells them things will get better, just takes a little more time. So he works and he builds with his own two hands, and he pours all he has in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long his kingdom stands. But will his kingdom stand? He used to say whoever dies with the most toys wins, but if he loses his soul, and what has he gained in the end? I'll take a shack on the rock over a castle in the sand. Now he works all day and he cries alone at night. It's not getting any better. Looks like he's running out of time, because he worked and he built with his own two hands, and he poured all he had in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long his kingdom stands. His kingdom stands. All they ever really wanted was you. All they really ever wanted was you. So I want to finish with this. Lastly, I want to let you know that being present in your family's life is the second best thing that you can do for them. Allowing God to be present in your life is the first. It is the only way you're going to be the father that you need to be. It is the only way that you are going to be the mother that you need to be. I understand that there are people that do not live for God and that they are doing okay. But to be your best, you need to have the best, because we all have daddy issues. If you're not looking to the Father above, you have daddy issues. And I can guarantee that seeps out some way or another in your life if you are not connected with God. That will give you daddy issues. You will be the best if you allow him, and by allowing yourself to be present in his presence. Happy Father's Day to all of you. I hope that something I said, that you will leave here with something. And I really hope that you guys get to go home. We don't have service tonight, and that's for a reason. And that is so that you can be present in your family. Be present. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy all the people around you, because I posted a meme not too long ago. We have 18 summers with our children. My urge to quit my job, I'm being honest, has never been more high right now, because I want my kids. And I want my summer with my kids. Not saying I'm doing that, but it's really resonating with me. It really is. And I hope that you enjoy your day.
You can be seated unless you are a father. If you are a father in any of the father roles, stepfather, foster father, if you are playing that father role, we want you to stand this morning, and we want to honor you. Why don't we give them a round of applause this morning. And then we're going to embarrass you just a little bit. We want you to make your way down front and then face everybody. So come on down, fathers. We do have a little small token of appreciation that went somewhere. Oh, Brother Greg's got it right there. just out of curiosity, I wonder who is the oldest father. By oldest father, mean who has the oldest child among us? Would that be? Probably maybe Brother Span, how old is your oldest? But how old is your oldest child? 62. Anybody have a child that is over 62 years of age? How old is your oldest child? Okay, so 62, 54. See, anybody over 62 have a child that is over 62 years of age? I think it's right that we honor Brother Matt Spann as our eldest father in the house this morning. Go ahead, you can pass those out. You can select what color you like. These things are just a little small token of appreciation from First Apostolic Church. It's called a viewtainer. It's a little thing that you squeeze the top and you can put stuff in it. You can put drill bits or screwdriver tips or, you know, stuff in the drunk. How many of you have a junk drawer at home? This may help you organize that junk drawer a little bit, or the center console of your truck, or the glove compartment. So this is just a small token of appreciation from us here at First Apostolic Church, just saying thank you. Happy Fathers to you. Congregation, one more time, why don't you stand and give our fathers a standing ovation as we conclude our service here this morning. Thank you once again to my wonderful wife, who did such a great job speaking to the fathers this morning, and it looks like we have something else before I let you go.
There's no way I could add to whatever just happened here today. Sister Shannon's message was truly anointed, and it came at a price, and I'm so thankful for what we heard here today. But there's something that I believe it was in Kensley's song, was a pastor of this church that wears so many hats, and the most important hat that he wears to us as a congregation is a prayer warrior. We see him for about 45 minutes up here and give a message that God laid upon his heart every week. But prayer, the countless hours that he prays for every one of us is immeasurable. And that's something that we don't see, but there's that I don't want to ever take for granted, and I appreciate more than anything. And as a church, we wanted to give you a small token of appreciation and thankfulness for everything and the many hats that he wears and all he does for us that we see and that we don't see. So thank you from the First Apostolic Church.
Thank you very much. I will read it and open it later, but thank you so much. God bless you for being here this morning. Go spend time with your families. Enjoy your Father's Day. No PM activity here at the church, so enjoy your time together. Fathers, happy Father's Day. We love you. Thank you so much. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.